Over the past couple of weeks, we officially crossed the threshold of a year since Patient Zero was discovered that radically began to shift the world that we live in. What seemed like something so distant from us last Christmas, now as we enter this December, is deeply impacting each and every one of us. Restrictions have been tightened, gathering indoors have been left to simply those within our own household. I mean, personally, I remember last Christmas, I remember telling my kids we were going to Disney World shortly after the Christmas break. And little did we know that that trip that we took would be the last one we would take for a while, as 3 weeks after we returned home, it was March, and we all remember what happened then as lockdowns began. This Christmas, it's just not the norm, it's different. The last year is incredibly unique and something we will discuss for years and decades to come, and it will be written about for the next generation to study in their history textbooks. For some of us, we may be wrestling as we try to figure out how we're going to navigate more work from home while we're helping kids with their online learning and we're missing being able to see relatives and friends. And in the midst of it, we may even be mumbling about this Christmas because it's anything but normal. Our traditions have been adjusted. The gatherings have been adapted. We're making Zoom calls to grandparents and relatives instead of driving out to see them. I mean, maybe for some of you, it may even feel like since things aren't the norm, that Christmas has the potential to even be ruined. And this is why we wanted to have a different conversation as we enter into the Christmas season this year. And we want to look closely at some of the stories that surround the Christmas narrative, because what we'll see if we look closely is that surrounding the Christmas story, it's really anything but normal. I mean, in fairness, even the Christmas story itself is not normal. It consists of a virgin birth and the Son of God as a baby. That just isn't normal. So over the next few weeks leading into Christmas, we want to look at a few different narratives that will help us figure out how we navigate unprecedented times, to use a phrase that I'm sure we've all heard more than we would like. But the reality is we're not alone in this journey, and Scripture is filled with people who navigate unique situations that we can learn from. The first of those Christmas narratives we're going to look at today is the story of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Now, this is a really interesting story because in the Gospel of Luke, this is where he decides to start the Gospel. It's not with Mary's announcement of being pregnant, but rather Luke decides to begin the story with Zechariah. And what we learn right at the start is that Zechariah is a prophet and who works in the temple. And Scripture tells us that himself and Elizabeth, that they were considered righteous before God and that they observed the Lord's decrees blamelessly. So we have some good people by God's standards, but Scripture also tells us that they're unable to conceive a child, that Elizabeth is barren. Now, for Elizabeth, this meant mockery that she was unable to conceive, and it would have carried deep pain and disappointment for both of them. But I think it's important to briefly just point out here, just quickly, that something like this was not a result of personal sin. Scripture said they were righteous, but rather this is a wrestle with the fact that even the righteous, that all people are going to have to work through disappointments in life. But the story then carries on, and Zechariah is chosen to go into the inner court to burn incense. Now, this is something that happened once in a lifetime for a priest. And so they would go into the inner place while everyone else was out in the outer court. And Zechariah is in the midst of what he thought was his normal life and work, and he has an encounter while he's there that shifts his world. I mean, it's interesting that this is where God often meets with us, is in the midst of what we are doing. But let's pick up the story in Luke chapter 1, in verse 11. All the way to verses 25. It says, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It is he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then he realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. Now, before we get to the deeper application for us, I think it's important that we stop and actually realize some of the comedy of this situation. Because after Zechariah comes out of the temple and is unable to speak, he essentially tries to play charades with the people to explain what he had just seen, which was an angel. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with how scripture in different places has explained their looks, but if it's anything like Ezekiel, they have four faces, they're all different. They've got multiple sets of wings and bull hooves for feet. I mean, just picture for a second how you would try to act that out to your friends playing charades. I mean, maybe even a fun challenge would be is to play charades with a friend over Zoom later to see if they can guess this. But in all seriousness, Zechariah comes out silenced. He's unable to speak for the next 9 months while Elizabeth is pregnant. And we see that Elizabeth also spends 5 months in seclusion. I mean, at first glance, this feels pretty close to our current situation as we distance with restrictions and we find ourselves in a new kinds of silence and seclusion. But as we'll see, there's something that happens within Zechariah over his 9 months of silence. The first being is that he doesn't get in trouble with his wife since nothing leaves his mouth. But really, the story is this wrestle of Zechariah's deep disappointment and frustration. They haven't been able to have a child. Zechariah gets a promise from an angel about Elizabeth becoming pregnant, yet he still questions. And he responds by essentially saying, I don't know if you've seen my wife and I, but we're on the older side of things. We're past when people physically have kids. But I love what Gabriel, the angel, essentially says right back to Zechariah, because Gabriel suggests that Zechariah, in effect, should just be quiet for a while and watch God work. And Zechariah begins 9 months of silence and waiting, still unsure if what the angel said was true. Now, I want us to pause for a moment on this idea of silence and waiting, because I think it's one that's incredibly difficult for our culture. Because the silence is more than we may realize at a first pass or read. You see, Zechariah didn't go home and binge on his favorite Netflix series because he was unable to communicate with the world, or he didn't endlessly scroll social media or tweet out his thoughts. Rather, it was just him and his thoughts. That was it. I mean, if you were Zechariah, what would you think about all day? Where would your thoughts ultimately take you? And I wonder if the current reality that we find ourselves in with restrictions is a bit of silence in our own lives. We've been slowed down from our go and pursue type of culture and all the noise that has bombarded our lives, both visually from the world around us and the noise of the hustle that fills our thoughts. And ultimately, what's happened is we've been made still in our homes and in our lives. We've been silenced in some senses from the world around us. And like Zechariah, we may feel the discomfort and maybe even the pain that happens within the silence, yet it's within the silence that we have the potential to learn and to grow in incredible ways if we're willing to embrace it. I mean, this is the learning for Zechariah. He learns, although we don't get details on how through the scripture, but he learns how to listen to God within the silence. I believe each of us, if we're honest to ourselves, we're probably wrestling with a pain or a discomfort in the current silence that we each face right now. It looks different for each of us. It isn't that we can't necessarily speak, but the silence is rather the removal of what has become so normal in our lives. It may be the absence of a child, it may not be, but there are many different types of disappointments or frustrations that we face. Maybe it's from the loss of a job due to our current circumstances. Maybe for others of you, you're grieving the inability to see others. Maybe some of you, you're just mad at the lost moments with loved ones due to restrictions. Or maybe for others, you carry this anxiety with the uncertainty of what's going to happen next after this all ends. I mean, many, if not all of us, are finding ourselves sitting in the silence like Zechariah. But it's in the discomfort and pain of silence that God works and grows us in new ways if we're willing to lean into what God may want to do in us during this time. If we were to look in Scripture, throughout Psalms and Proverbs, it talks about silence and being still. And the reality is that we can only be still when we stop the hustle, when we stop chasing the world and we become present to our own thoughts and emotions and we become silent to hear from God. Another place in Scripture is the story of Elijah, and it shows this, that after a major showcase from Elijah of calling down fire from the heavens onto a water-soaked altar to prove others wrong, God takes Elijah up the mountain, and he reminds him that he isn't in the big wind or in the earthquake or the fire. But Elijah finds him in the gentle whisper that's heard in the silence once he's removed from everything around him. The truth is this, is that God wants to speak into our silence. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they learn in uncomfortable ways how to serve God even when it doesn't make sense or look the way they think it should. They continued to remain faithful. And they did it through their deep personal disappointments of not being able to conceive up to this point. They did it through Zechariah's vision and then through the silence as they wait for the fulfillment of God's promise. And now, I found personally as I wrestled with this message that I find my story in this as well over the last 2 years. If you've been a part of Westside for more than a couple of years, you may remember that I was on staff before I left to take on a new role in Edmonton. And in fairness, at the time, it was the right move. I was sensing God stirring something in my heart that I had to pursue, but little did I know it would be 2 years of disappointments and silence and waiting, both personally and work-related. You see, I thought I knew what I was going to do as I packed our family up full of excitement at the opportunity. But the truth is, it was 2 years I never would have asked Jesus for, but never want him to take away because of what I learned in the silence and the waiting. From a work perspective, the role I was hired for over 2 years never panned out. I was constantly shifting from one spot within the organization to another, and things stacked upon each other, constantly delaying me and bumping me out of what I thought I was there to do. I found myself constantly praying in that season, seeking what God would do, yet it was a season of silence in my pursuit of career. And at the one moment that I thought it would begin to look positive and move forward, COVID hit and it ended the road for me. But the truth is I've come out with greater patience and greater understanding. And I believe like Zechariah discovered on how you remain faithful when it doesn't unfold the way you think it should. Personally, it was filled with disappointments as well as I felt like a failure ultimately for not completing what I set out to do. I felt like I'd moved my family to a new city for nothing. I mean, we navigated a season as a family that was our toughest to date as we wrestled with the loss of two miscarriages in a city on our own. We had some great friends that were a part of the journey, but it still felt like a season of silence and disappointment. And it ultimately led us back to Calgary and rejoining the team here at Westside, which we're incredibly excited about. But in fairness, I'm still processing the silence. It's been unexpected and surprising and sometimes felt a bit out of control, though I know that it isn't. I mean, we ended up welcoming our new daughter 4 months ago, yet we still feel the pain of loss. We're excited to be back, but we still wrestle with the past 2 years and what's happened. Yet in the midst of it all, I can see that it's through the season of silence and forced stillness that as a family, we've become stronger, that personally, I've grown in a way that I'm not sure I can put into words like Zechariah's story, but something has just been done in that time, in that silence, that because of it, I've grown. And God has done and he continues to do more in me as I continue to unpack it. Now, not everyone will experience the silence or the disappointments the same, but we all have them. And the reality is that it's within the silence that we're all facing and been forced into different degrees that we ultimately have a choice to make. The choice is that we can either lean into what God wants to gently whisper to you in this season, or we can simply just cling for survival. Both have the potential for discomfort, but only one has the potential for greater growth as we pursue Jesus. Now, let's pick the story back up near the end of Luke, looking at verses 57 to 66 to see what happens with Zechariah. Starting in verse 57, it says this: "When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, 'No, his name is John.' 'What?' they exclaimed. 'There is no one in all your family by that name.' So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, 'His name is John.' Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, 'What will this child turn out to be?' For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way." You see, it's throughout the pain of this discipline of silence that we see Zechariah emerges as someone even stronger. The long silence has allowed him to reflect on what God was calling him to do, and now he's even greater prepared to do it. Again, we don't get the details of what has happened in the silence, but because of it, Zechariah is a greater man of faith. There's something that has changed within him. And he's able to speak by writing the child's name is John, finally believing the word of the angel and the promise of God. And now once he does speak again, there's this sign that God is doing a new thing. Because after verse 66, Zechariah shares a prophecy about who John will be. And the belief of many of the people at the time was that the prophecy was silent for a long time and now was bursting out again through Zechariah, breaking the silence on Israel's behalf. I mean, this is the gift of silence for each of us if we're willing to embrace it. God will use it to do something new in us and through us. The truth is there's always more to learn from God. God has more for each and every one of us, no matter how long we've been following him. Zechariah was a man of lifelong faith. He was too old by regular physical nature to have kids, but God still had more growth for him. I mean, the truth is it can be easy for us to view our spiritual lives as just something that can be mastered rather than something that's to be maintained and worked on. And maybe in this season, you find yourself struggling because you mastered the regular schedule of coming to this space where we're recording on Sundays, and you're just trying to hold on until it comes back. But what if God has more for you in this season? What if there's more to following Jesus than what you thought you mastered? You see, Zechariah learned to follow God's leading in this unique and unnormal situation of silence he was placed in. But let's just stop and be honest for a second. God's ways are rarely the norm. You see, Jesus' kingship does not seclude itself in a palace, but rather it's among all the people, including those the world calls outcasts. His kingdom ways are that of sacrificial serving those around him. They are ways of deep grace in a world that screams for people to get what they deserve. They are not the norm. Our Christmas is not the norm. The narratives of Christmas were not the norm. But I love how Luke puts it in verse 66 as he talks about this unusual nature of John who will point the way toward Jesus and even baptize Jesus. He asks this question in verse 66 of, "What then is this child going to be?" And this is Luke's way of getting the reader to pause and to reflect on this special child. I mean, I think we often lose the drama today because we know the Christmas story almost too well. But this is a moment that is piquing the interest of the initial readers because this story of Zechariah and the silence and it now being broken opens up the drama of the gospel to suggest to the reader that things are just getting interesting. So stay tuned to this child and the one who follows him. But before Luke gets to the narrative of Jesus, he starts with the story of Zechariah, which deeply connects with both the personal hopes and fears of ordinary people. which would have resonated with his readers and probably resonates with us maybe more now than any other time in our lives. I mean, Zechariah is a real person who's hesitating between faith and doubt in a unique season of his life, yet he's called to trust God at a new moment in history, but he's called to do it by being silent and to watch what God is doing. This Christmas, we all sit in silence. There's no big services, there's no crazy gatherings, and things are quieter. Are you willing to embrace the season of silence to see what God wants to teach you? There's always more. Will you lean into what God wants to do in you this year that is so unique and different? And will you allow Him to show up in ways you didn't plan or expect it to happen? I mean, there's often discomfort in the silence and waiting, especially as we learn to navigate it. And we're learning we aren't good at waiting and stillness as we desire for restrictions to be lifted and life to go back to normal. But sometimes it's uncomfortable for other reasons. Because maybe when you become still and silent, maybe you'll enter a season of healing. Some of you, you maybe haven't even slowed down enough to even realize what you've walked through the past number of months or years. That's me personally this Christmas season. I mean, for others, it may be silence that leads you to coming face to face with your frustrations or your grief for the first time in a long time. Lean into them. God is in the gentle whisper. For others, it will be a time of silence to become present to what is right around you, to not fill your time with prepping large meals as great as they are or as hustling out to go Boxing Day shopping. But rather, it will be a time where you'll be surprised all over again about the Christmas story and the grace of Jesus as you have more time to reflect. Maybe for others, it might even be closer to Zechariah's story that God wants to give you greater clarity in what you are doing. But we have to choose to slow down enough to be able to let God work and speak. It's in the silence where anticipation, expectation, and faith grow if we embrace it instead of grumbling about it. There is more that God wants to do with you, and God will speak into your silence if you're willing to allow the silence to be there and to simply not just fill it with numbing distractions. It may not all get sorted over Christmas, that's okay. But begin the process in the quiet and different that this season is bringing. Lean into it. You will wrestle in the silence, but there's a gift in it as God will speak and lead through whatever you're feeling. Whether it's the anxiousness or the fear or the discomfort, the frustration, the sadness, the grief, or whatever you are processing in these unique times. Perhaps we just need to be quiet for a bit and watch God work instead of running at the pace we have been and filling our lives with noise. And then, when it is time to speak again, in the sense of bringing back the noise of our lives and restrictions being lifted, we'll be ready to step into the new thing that God wants to do through us, as He did with Zechariah. Until then, in the words of Psalm 46, would we be still and know that He is God.